First Peter chapter number 5, beginning at verse number 1, the Bible says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." Peter has opened his heart to us, I believe, sharing with us as believers what God has laid on his heart. Peter's mission, I believe, is to strengthen our faith. He's writing to a group of believers, some who were probably very young in their faith. And he writes to tell us how to live holy in all regards as Christ has inspired him. He's not painted a false picture for us, I don't believe. He has not said that following Christ will be easy. Instead, he's told us the exact opposite. Just as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, he says, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, because there's probably going to be some suffering in it for you, that we may have to suffer in the flesh as Christ did, so that we might live holy as Christ is holy. Peter's also reminded us of the great work of salvation, that when Christ died on the cross, when he died on the cross, he died there for us. And we accepted the free gift of that salvation in our hearts earnestly. When we did that, that Christ set us free from our past. And he set us on a new course of following after him. And that new course is not a course that the world applauds. As a matter of fact, the world calls it strange and sometimes calls us crazy. But Peter writes that we need to be reminded of the good news, the gospel. It's so good that it brings about new life in all who will truly believe. Old places, he says, won't thrill us anymore. The things of God is all that will thrill our soul. And as Peter closes this first letter, he closes with a command that even though we are living on this earth, that we live with heavenly principles. And this week we're going to look at how the elder, the preacher, ought to conduct himself as he serves the Lord and the Lord's people. And if I could have put a title on this whole chapter, I would say he's telling us how to have earthly conduct when we're heavenly bound. And that's what I've entitled the message today: earthly conduct for the heavenly bound. Today we'll look at the preacher. 3 points I want to look at, and I guess today I'll be preaching, as they say, to the choir. I'll be preaching to myself. But I think that there are applications for all of us as we look at the conduct that God says that the elder, the preacher, is to have towards the flock so that all might be prepared for heaven one day. 3 points. The preacher is to feed the flock, shepherd the flock, and lead the flock. First of all, feeding the flock. Back to 1 Peter 5:1 again. It says, "The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you." Now the Greek word translated elder there can be used to signify the eldest. It can. And if you read through your Bible, you'll find that there are some places where it speaks about age and other places where it speaks about the office. And today I believe, based on the word of God here, that God is speaking to us about the office of the elder, the bishop, the preacher. I've read several commentaries about this, and most agree that Peter is speaking here about the office of the elder and giving the elders godly commandments as to how we are to conduct ourselves while occupying the earthly home in expectation of meeting Jesus face to face one day. Peter describes himself as one of the elders, and in describing the office, he shows that it's not always glorious here. But one day, there's going to be a great reward. He says, "I am a witness." And I like the way Peter put it. He says, "I am a witness to the suffering that Christ suffered so that the good news could be declared. And I recognize that there may be suffering involved for me and for all those who followed me in serving the Lord this way. But just as we suffered with Christ, we shall also share in his glory when His glory is revealed. He says the suffering is not the end. And all that happens here on this earth is not the end. We're working to be with Christ in His glory one day. Peter was excited about the opportunity to serve the Lord. He was excited about the opportunity to be a preacher and to school others in how they too ought to conduct themselves in the office. He saw his position of elder as an opportunity to put his faith to work. And Christ had given him his marching orders after he had been crucified. And he appeared to Peter and he appeared to the other disciples to encourage them to carry on, even though he physically was not with them anymore. In short, Christ told him to feed the flock. You probably remember that passage. Look over in John chapter number 21. In John chapter number 21, if you would skip down with me to verse number 15, Christ has already been crucified. Now he has appeared and reappeared to the disciples. And his purpose is to teach them how to conduct themselves and how to encourage them to carry on with the mission that they've begun. John 21, verse 15 says this. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. Now, I don't believe that. I believe a couple things here. I believe that when Jesus was talking to Peter here, he asked him, Do you love me more than these? He was not asking him if his love was greater than the love of all the disciples. That's not at all what he was asking him. But I believe what Christ was saying to Simon Peter there, he said, Do you love me more than you love people, these people? Are you willing to commit to me more than you would commit to these people? Would you let these people, if they all turn back, would you turn back too? Will you love me more than them? And Simon Peter says, Lord, you know that I love you. And he says, And if you love me, then you go and feed my lamb. Verse 16 said, He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? Peter thought, I guess Peter thought Christ was playing some kind of game with him. But what Christ instead was saying is, Peter, I want you to understand the level of commitment that you will need to be able to go for and serve me. He says, It's not going to be easy. Do you love me? And you understand that this thing is about the love of Christ. It has to be the love of Christ that will lead us towards feeding the flock. You and I all together, not just the office of the elder, the office of the preacher, but all of God's people, do you know that we cannot move forward in serving the Lord if we don't love Him? If we don't love Him for what He has done for us. He says here, Do you love me? And Peter got upset. He didn't understand it. But the Bible says, Jesus saith unto him, Then feed my sheep. Verse 18 says, Verily, verily, I say unto thee. And here's the encouragement. And here's the command. And here's the wisdom of our God. And this is ought to be a clue for you and I that it's not to be an easy road, but we need to walk down that road anyway. Verse 18, he says, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whether thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. In other words, he says, Do you love me enough to know what the future is going to be like, that it's not going to be easy? Still will you feed my lamb? And Peter says, Yes, I love you. And Christ said, Follow me. What is the job of the elder? It is to feed the sheep. I think he's saying it won't make you the most popular guy. It won't. You won't get invited to all the parties and all the events, but it will be a very rewarding job if you will love Christ and if you will love the people of Christ and feed them with the Word of God and with the bread of heaven. Now, the feeding of the flock means rightly dividing the Word of God and making a personal commitment to staying on task. And I think that's exactly what Peter is writing to the elders of his day, which is completely applicable to the elders of this day, that we have to rightly divide the Word of God if we are to truly feed the flock. We've got to be committed to staying on task. Now, look how Paul encouraged Timothy on the same subject in 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4, just a few verses beginning at verse number 1. As Paul was preparing Timothy for the work of the local church preacher, as Paul left him there in a place where Paul could not remain himself, Paul said to Timothy, "I charge thee," beginning at verse number 1, "therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word." Now he's talking to him about feeding the flock. He says, all right, I want you to understand what is the most important thing that you have to do in the establishment of the local church where I'm leaving you. He says, primary duty, preach the word. Preach the word. He says, I want you to feed the people with the word of God. He says, be instant, in season, out of season. Be ready, he says. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. He says, I want you to preach the word and I want you to give it to them just like it is. But then he says, but I want you to be patient with them. I want you to be long suffering. I want you to understand that they might not always get it the first time, he says. But I want you to be careful to preach the word. Stay true to the doctrine of Christ. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. He says, you know what? You're going to find that even as you're trying to do what I've called upon you to do, that there are going to be people who simply don't want to follow after the simple word of God. He said they're going to have itching ears and they're going to go out seeking for themselves people who will give them pleasure, make them feel good. But he says they're going to turn away. They're going to turn their ears away from the truth, he said, and the truth will be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things. You know what he's telling them? He says, no matter what they do, you stay true to job number one. Preach the word. Feed the flock. You preach the word. He says, you watch in all things. You watch yourself in all things. And you endure afflictions. And you do the work of an evangelist. Now, what is the work of the evangelist? It is to preach the word. It is to preach the word. He says, you do the work of an evangelist. No matter what they're doing around you, you stay on track. And he says, and you make full proof of your ministry. Make a commitment is what he's saying to God and keep it. For God will judge us at his appearing. And you do what he's called upon you to do, Timothy. You preach the word. You feed the flock. Yeah, some are going to listen. Some will not. But you preach the word. Amen. You pray. You watch. You protect yourself. You endure whatever you have to. But you tell Christ's story, and you tell Christ's story above all else. Make full proof, he says, of your ministry. And I think what he's telling them there is that you just try and see what God will do through you if you will stay committed to him. Make full proof. And I don't think he's telling Timothy, and I don't think God is telling me or any other preacher that we're responsible to be the spiritual police. But I think he is telling us that we're responsible at all times. Amen. To feed the flock. Amen. To do the work of an evangelist. How about this? In the pulpit and out of it. Amen. And keeping the word of God pure and stirring the hearts of the people to remember what Christ has done for us is the feeding of the flock. To evidence that there's nothing new under the sun, we see that in the disciples' day, not so long after Christ had been crucified, that there was some dissension about how a man was saved. And the disciples joined themselves together. I want to show you that. Look in Acts chapter 15. Because we see that there were some of the same things happening then as is happening now. As the word of God, it just like Paul told Timothy, some of them will believe and some of them won't. Well, still today, some will believe and some will not. Still today, some want to add things to salvation. Others want to try to take things away. And there is nothing new under the sun. That was happening even just shortly after Christ had been crucified. There was still some dissension about how a man could be saved. And in Acts chapter 15, the disciples brought themselves together to talk about just that. How are we going to deal with this distortion of the truth of the Word of God? And you know what the answer was? Preach the Word. Feed the flock. That was the answer. In Acts chapter 15, let me show you. I want to read further down into the chapter, but let's start at verse number 1 so you can understand what's going on. In Acts chapter 15, verse number 1, it says, "And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved." Now that is not true, amen? We know that's for by grace are you saved, through faith. It was true then, it's true now. Now skip down to verse number 6, and I want to show you how they dealt with that, how they understood that the mission of the work of the man of God, of the elder, of the bishop, of the preacher, was to preach the gospel, was to dispel any of those untruths, stay true to the word of God, and tell Christ's story. Verse 6 of Acts 15, it says this, "And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up." I like Peter because Peter is the boy who says, "All right, enough of this foolishness. Let me just tell you Christ's story. Let me get you back on track." "But Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made a choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the heart, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear?" He says, we couldn't do that. Why are we trying to do that to them? He says, "But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they." I like him. He says, what is the main thing? Let's tell Christ's story. He says, "Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, after this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down. And I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord and all the Gentiles, upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore my sentence is..." And that's like he's saying, "And therefore I declare that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles have turned to God." He says, why are we messing with Christ's story? Let's just tell them the truth of the gospel. Let's don't add anything to it. Let's not take anything from it. He says, but that we write unto them. He says that we write unto them that they evidence what God has done in their lives, that they be changed. Just as we have to be changed, he said that they abstain from pollutions of idols, that they abstain from fornication and from things strangled and from blood, For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. You know what he's saying? I believe he says, let's just tell the Gentiles, you stay true to the story of what Jesus Christ has done for us. And he says, and for the Jews, he says, let's don't write them anything. You know why? Because they got the word of God. They got the word of God already. It stood up and it's taught in the synagogues every single week. He said, let them hear the word and let God change their hearts. What is the answer? What is the answer, therefore, for the preacher, for the elder? Feed the flock. All else will fail you, but the word of God never will. So let us feed them with the word of God. Let us tell them about grace. Let us tell them about the evidence of what God can do for us. Let us just feed the flock. That's the responsibility of the elders. Not only are we to feed the flock, but we're also to shepherd the flock. Let's take a look. Go back to 1 Peter chapter 5 again. So he says we are to, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 2 this time, he said, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. The elder must shepherd the flock. He must be Holy Spirit led. The shepherd is to take the oversight of the flock. He's the overseer. But not as we traditionally think of the overseer in the older days. He's not the one who gets to tower over. He's not the one to have the power over the people. But the Bible is saying that he has spiritual oversight. That he is to be the one who is in love with the people as he is in love with the Holy Spirit, with the Father, with Jesus Christ himself. He's to be aware of what's going on with his flock and thereby have oversight. He's not to serve by constraint, the Bible says. You know what the Bible's saying? It's not to be a heavy burden. He says, because if you see it as a heavy burden, as a job, as something that you just have to do, then you're not serving the Lord willingly. He says it's got to be not by constraint, but it's got to be willingly. You can't be forced into it, and it can't be for greedy gain. He says, but it's got to be of a ready mind. The work of the elder requires a man with a heart for God and a heart for the people. You know, I was thinking about how I could show you what it's like not to have a heart, not to have a heart for the work that you're doing. And the example that came to mind was that years ago, when we lived in Ohio, I worked for a company that was very community minded. And one of our functions was to go out and we were to help one of the local elementary schools with an activity. And before we could do the activity, we had to go over and meet with this group of teachers that we were going to be serving with. And we had a great big meeting room, and we were all in a great big circle, and we had to introduce ourselves. And we introduced ourselves and told our functions, and then the teachers got to introduce themselves. And one by one, the teacher said, hello, my name is, and I've been teaching for this many years. I got 8 more years to go before I can retire. And the next one, I got 6 more years before I can retire. And the next one, and I got 4 more years before I can retire. And that was all that they were looking forward to was retirement. And the only thing I could think of was those poor children that every single day, they're just one more tick mark on the calendar towards retirement. Well, you know, Christ is saying that the elder can't shepherd if the whole job is a heavy burden, if it's just one more thing I got to do before the Lord comes back, or one more thing I got to do before I have to go out and meet another church member. He says it can't be that way, but it's got to be willing service. You got to have a heart for God. And to show that you have God's heart, to show you God's heart, the heart that God expects for a shepherd, I want to offer you 2 points of scripture. First of all, 1 John chapter number 10. Let's go there first. And then we'll go back and look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. John chapter 10, Jesus speaks himself about the heart that he desires the elder to have, the heart of a shepherd. First of all, in John chapter 10, he says, "Verily, verily," verse 1, "I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." Now, let's just stop there for a second. This is a parable that Christ is offering to us to help us to understand the heart that the shepherd must have towards the sheep. He says, if the shepherd entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs in some other way, then he's a thief. Now, skip down to verse number 7. And Christ tells you something very interesting there. He says, "I am the door of the sheep." I am the door of the sheep. So the explanation of this parable is this. He says the makings of a good shepherd, first of all, is the shepherd must know the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ himself. Otherwise, if he came up any other way, then he's a thief and a robber and he has no heart for the sheep. Amen. Can I tell you something? And I'm just going to say it. Is that I have some concerns today about some who call themselves a shepherd, whether they truly even know the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ. If they came in some other way, if they don't understand grace, they don't understand that it's by grace we are saved. They don't understand what it means to be saved. They don't know what it means to be changed. Jesus says, if they don't understand my heart, then they are a thief and a robber. And they're doing the people no good. He says in verse 2, "But he that entereth in by the door." He that entereth in by the door. Through Jesus Christ. He is the shepherd of the sheep. He has the heart of God. And he says, "To him the porter openeth. And the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out." And this verse references like there might be a housing place almost like for the sheep. That the sheep have been kind of put into a special place, like a congregation almost. And he says, "To him the porter openeth." It's like there's one who is watching over the sheep. And the porter will open the door for the true shepherd and will let him in. He doesn't have to steal his way in. He doesn't have to rob his way in. He says, and when the porter opens the door and this one comes in, he says, guess what? The sheep hear his voice. And the sheep know him, and he calleth them by name. And then he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, look at this. He goeth before them. He says, it's a labor of love. He says, he goes before them and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And if I could put it like this, as Paul put it, he says, follow me as I follow Christ. That's what the sheep will know about the shepherd. He says, and a stranger, they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. If we'll feed the flock, first of all, if we'll preach the word, and then we'll shepherd them with the heart of God. Now let's look at how Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Still thinking about the heart of God and the shepherd. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, skip down this time to verse number 15 while you turn in there. I'll let you know that Paul is speaking to the church at Corinth about the design of the church. And if you read beginning at the beginning of 1 Corinthians 9, you'll see that Paul is telling them how that God designed that the needs of the pastor were to be met by the congregation, by the offerings of the congregation. And he compared that to the altars and those things that were brought to the altar of the days of old. The passage begins with the word but that we're going to look at today. And what Paul is saying, as he begins with the word "but," he's saying, "I haven't asked you to do all those things that God ordained that you could do to meet my needs." He says, "But," verse 15, "but I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be so done unto me." He says, "I'm not reminding you to do those things. That's not my point. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glory void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is upon me if I preach not the gospel." Paul says, "I preach it because I understand the heart of God, and I have a desire that all men know God." He says, "To me, it's a labor of love. I do it because I he says, "I can't help myself." He says, "For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me." He says, "I do this willingly, and I have a reward. If I do it against my will, then I'm carrying out the command that was given to me." He says, "But I have an accountability to God, whether I do it willingly or unwillingly. God is holding me accountable." But he was willing, and he understood that God had placed a calling on his life. God had given him a stewardship. God had given him a dispensation, and God had committed it to him. So he says, "I understand that God has committed a dispensation of the gospel to me. God has given me an opportunity to be a steward of his word. And I want to do what God has called upon me to do." Verse 18 says, "Then what is my reward then?" He says, "Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Though I owe a debt to no man, I serve all like I do." I think it's what Paul is saying. He says, "And unto the Jews, I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without the law, being not without the law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law." You see what Paul is saying there? He says, "I'm free. I have no obligation to any of them, to any person, because no person has paid me. No person has any more right to the word of God because of their commitment to me." But he says, "You know what? I love all people. God has given me this heart and this new zeal for the gospel." He says, "And though I be free from them all, yet I make myself a servant unto all of them." That's the heart that God expects of the man of God. "I've made myself a servant unto all." Man, I could jump right to my last point now. We better keep going. But he says, "I've made myself a servant unto all." Again, verse 20, he says, "Unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." He said they might not all listen. They might not. They might not all agree. He said, "But God has given me a stewardship, a dispensation of the gospel. He has made me a servant." He says, "And I got to tell them all about Christ." That's the heart of the shepherd right there. The one who is coming in through the door. He says, "And this I do." Why? Verse 23, "For the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you." He says, that's what it means to take the oversight thereof. That's what it means to serve willingly, not by constraint, not for any gain, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind for the gospel's sake. And if we are to be heaven bound, and our determination is that others will be heaven bound as well, guess what? We have got to feed the flock, and we got to shepherd it. We got to love it as Christ loves his church. Then finally, we are to lead the flock. We have to feed it. We have to shepherd it. And then we have to lead it. Go back to 1 Peter one more time. 1 Peter chapter number 5, verse 3 this time. He says, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. He says, we're not to be lords over God's people. You hear me? The elder is not to be a lord over God's people. It's not a power position. It's not to be for gain. It's not to be for show. It's not to be for preferential treatment, but servants of God. That's what Paul said. He says, I became a servant to all. You know what it also means? We're to be the examples of God's expectation for all people. And I believe that God is going to hold us, the elders, the preachers, the bishop, the leader. He's going to hold us accountable for what we do or for what we don't do for the flock. Now let me show you that. Look in Ezekiel chapter number 34. Ezekiel 34, just a couple verses starting at verse number 1. Well, actually 10 of them. But Ezekiel chapter number 34, beginning at verse number 1. God says that the elder, the preacher, is to be a leader of the flock, is to be setting an example for the people to follow, not to be towering over them, but most certainly showing them the way that God expects that they will live their lives. In Ezekiel 34, you will see that God was not pleased with the work of the shepherd, with the work of the elders. And God called them out for their lack of feeding and their lack of shepherding and their lack of leading. And God is just as unpleased today, I believe, with the work that many are doing. He says here in verse number 1, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, ye clothe, and ye clothe you with the wool. You kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. This is the opposite of feeding the flock. This is the opposite of being a good shepherd. This is the opposite of being a good leader. God says, what is it that we're supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be looking out for those who have gone away from the flock and bring them back. We're to rescue the perishing. He says, there are some who are diseased, and we need to provide for them strength. Where does the strength come from? From the word of God. Preach the word. He says, you haven't healed those that were sick. What will heal the sick? The word of God. He says, you haven't bound up that which was broken. How will we fix that which is broken? It is the word of God. He says, we have a purpose. Verse number 5 says, and they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, And listen at this. He says, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand. You know what God is saying? I'm going to hold you accountable for how you deal with the flock.
Amen.
He says, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock.
Amen.
Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves anymore, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. No reward. You know what? He says they lord it over the people. They misuse what they thought to be the authority that God had given them as a shepherd. They forgot that they were supposed to be the servants. And many today, I believe, forget that they're to be the servants. But God calls on us to lead by example, to lead the flock, and to know that in so doing, He will provide the ultimate reward. You know what? I think so many are looking for the reward now.
Amen.
And now is not the place we get the reward. The reward comes in glory. Now I'll show you two more things and then I'll be done. Look at 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Both of them are in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. God calls on us to lead by example, to be the example, to lead and to feed and to shepherd the flock so that all of us will be able to stand unashamed before Him. 2 Peter chapter 2, skip down to verse number 10. This passage begins with the word therefore. You know, you always have to go back and see what is therefore. And Paul has just told Timothy to be strong in his faith. And he's told him that even though sometimes the physical body might be bound, because Paul had a lot of difficulties because people were after him and, you know, they were stoning him and capturing him. And Paul's telling Timothy, sometimes you might be physically bound, but he said the Word of God is never bound, is never ever restricted. It will always run its course. And therefore, he starts this verse with the word, therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. You know what he's saying? I am the example that God has called upon me to be. He says, I endure all things for their sake, for your sake, that you may also obtain the same salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. He says, it is a faithful saying. For if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. Of all these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. He says here to Timothy, he says, Timothy, you study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. Feed them, he said. He says, no matter what they might be going through, no matter what might be happening amongst them, you just keep on studying the word of God. You rightly divide the word of God. You feed the people, those that you have been given the opportunity to shepherd. Verse 16, he said, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. He said, don't get wrapped up into foolishness.
Amen.
And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. They weren't preaching the gospel. They weren't feeding the flock. They weren't shepherding the people. He says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. He says, we got to be an example. We got to be an example. We got to lead these people, and we got to let sin go, he says. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor, some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Timothy, he says in verse 22, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith and charity, peace, and with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient. What is he saying to him? You study. And you know that they're not all going to get it, not the first time. He said, but you got to be patient, my friend. And you just got to keep on feeding the flock. You got to keep on shepherding the people. You got to keep showing them the heart of God. You got to keep leading by example. He says in verse 25, how are you going to do that? He says, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. He says, they don't know it. He says, but they're caught up in a loop. And the pathway that they're leading, that they're following, is leading them to destruction. He says, they're opposing themselves, but you keep on instructing them. If God, peradventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves. Why do we stand here? He says, what's the purpose of our coming together on Sunday mornings? What's the purpose of our coming? It's to worship the Lord. This is our hospital. This is the place where we get healed. He says, if there's something that's going on in our lives and we need to go to the recovery room, here it is. He says, you just preach the word so that they might recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. We are to be his shepherds. We are to be the leaders of the flock. He says, not as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, he says, if we will just keep on working, if we will mind our earthly conduct while we are still heavenly bound, he says, when the chief shepherd shall appear, we'll receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. In other words, guys, we are to stay true to the elders. He says we are to feed the flock, shepherd it, oversee it, serve willingly, serve for the benefit of the faith, and don't lord over it. Don't cause the people to wander. Don't cause the people to stray. But be examples for the people to follow, and God will reward us. And Paul was so sure of what God would do for him that he put it this way for Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Flip over there. It should just be a couple pages over from where you are now. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6, 7, and 8. Paul had been a good shepherd. We read Paul's testimony in 1 Corinthians 9 where he said, you know what, God has taught me this, that I'm to be a servant. A servant of all people. And Paul said, I made myself. He says, I to the low I became low, and to the weak I became weak, and to the Jew I became Jew, because I wanted to be able to say that I had given them all the message so that Christ might save some, so that the message, the good news, might be reached to all people. And now Paul, as he was nearing the end of his life, he wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, verse 6, he says, I'm now ready. I'm ready to be offered. He says, and the time of my departure is at hand. And I have fought a good fight. I've done what God has called upon me to do. He says, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And here's our assurance, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. God is going to reward us.
Amen.
If our hearts are in line with his. And not just for today, but every day until he comes back.
Amen.
Paul says there's going to be a crown of righteousness that's laid up for me. But he says, don't you worry, not just for me, but for all them that love his appearing. Do you love his appearing today?
Amen.
Well, God says there is a way that we are to conduct ourselves while we're here on this earth. that will reflect that we are heaven bound, that we got Jesus on our minds and our hearts are in line with His. You know, I believe that Peter wrote these words so that each one of us, from the pulpit to the pew, might know exactly what God's expectation is. And so that we might hold one another accountable for the lives that God expects that we live. You hold me accountable. You hold me accountable to preach the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, for your Word, we're thankful today. Thankful, Lord, that You have given us direction for all parts of our lives, for every part of Your church, for every function within Your church. Today, Lord, we speak. We have spoken, in particular to the elder, but I think there is application for all those who sit under the sound of the Word of God. That we are to be true to the Word of God more than anything else, Lord. That we are to feed the flock that is among us. And Lord, we have a flock in our households. We have flocks in our families. And I pray that we might be careful to just feed them with the Word of God. That we would rightly divide the Word of God so that it might reach into the hearts of those that we love and care about. Lord, You've given each one of us an opportunity to be shepherds. Shepherds who have come in through the right door, that door which is Christ. And You've given us the heart of God. And I pray, Father, that we might use that heart to reach all those who are outside of the faith. And to minister to those, Father, who we have opportunity to minister to, who are our brothers and sisters in the faith. Lord, I pray You'd help us to be living examples of what it means to be children of God. Help us, Lord, to not only speak it, not only to preach it, but to live it as well, so that others might see what it means to be true to the Word of God. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to stand on the Word of God, that sure foundation, to know in whom we believe and to live our lives committed and persuaded that You're able to do all that You promised for us. I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, our Savior. Amen.